is Go Beyond, the teaching and preaching ministry with Pastor Michael Urisha. Michael is an international speaker, songwriter, and the senior pastor of the Judah Ministries International Worship Center, located in McKeesport, Pennsylvania. If you are ever in the greater Pittsburgh area, please come and visit us. Let's now join in with the Judah Ministries praise team at the Worship Center.
Come on, let's just stay right here for a minute.
Yeah. Relax in his presence. Don't fight him. Relax. Oh, if you only knew how much he truly loves you. You know, he left us and he sent the Holy Spirit to be our comforter and our guide, our teacher, to relax us in his presence. There's peace there. There is warmth and comfort there because he loves you. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, have your way, Lord.
We all have a church in here this morning, y'all. My God. I don't know. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I do have a message. But I have a couple different exit ramps. Somebody say, thank God. And ironically enough, listen, before we go any further, let's welcome in our online congregation. Come on, put your hands together and give them a praise. Thank God for them coming in. So we're obviously getting a little bit of a late start here, but that's all right when the Holy Spirit is in charge. Amen. Amen. We need to let him move when he needs to move. So this morning, we're going to begin a series on the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit here this morning for a little bit. And I want to be able to answer some questions as to who the Holy Spirit is. Who is he? How many of you know the Spirit of God is not an it? Sometimes people refer to the Holy Spirit as it. No, the Holy Spirit is a he. Believe it or not, I just heard a well-known big named pastor refer to the Holy Spirit as a she. Very disturbing. Yeah, right. There's a movie being made with Jesus as a she. Listen, church, if you don't think this world is upside down, like when the prophet Isaiah wrote, there's coming a day when bitter will be sweet and sweet will be bitter. Right will be left and left will be right. Up is down, down is up. Listen, we're living in bizarro land. But this morning we're talking about the Holy Spirit and what is His purpose in the world today. We're going to answer questions. When did He begin to exist? Does He still work in the church today? So let me first start out by eliminating a misnomer about the Holy Ghost in the church, especially in evangelical and Pentecostal and full gospel circles. So when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, and now we'll talk about this later, but when you get saved, how many of you know you get the Holy Ghost? But there's also a second step called the baptism of the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. So there's two steps there. I'm not diving into that today, but when you receive the Holy Ghost, that does not mean that you will begin to immediately and violently shake uncontrollably, as you see in some. Come on, I got some holy rollers in the house. Holy rollers? Yeah. Come on, you remember people? I remember the first time I walked into a Holy Ghost-filled church when I came from a Catholic background, you know, so you didn't even talk in those buildings, but people were swinging from the chandeliers and dancing, and come on, do I got a witness in the house? And we could probably use a little bit more of that. But listen, when you get baptized by the Holy Ghost, it doesn't mean you're going to shake uncontrollably and speak in other languages. So I want to give you this phrase. Listen to this. Learn to discern between the difference between a charismatic service and charismania. Are y'all with me? There's a difference between being charismatic and a charismaniac. The Holy Spirit, this is good doctrine, y'all, will never usurp your will. So you do not need to be afraid of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit any more than you're afraid of receiving Jesus Christ. Is there anybody in here that's fearful or afraid of Jesus? Obviously not. So we should not be fearful of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you want to dance to the Lord, honey, He will take you dancing like you've never danced before. If you want to sing unto the Lord, He will take you to new places by singing with you and blessing you with a new song. Did anybody ever receive a new song? Do you want to worship God? Do you want to worship Him in spirit and in truth? Do you want to speak in tongues and with the tongues of angels? Listen, He will help you speak in the tongues of angels and worship Him in an intimacy that you never thought was possible. Do I got a witness in the house? Yes. Now, when we teach about the Holy Spirit, this is just an introduction today. But when we teach about the Holy Spirit, we must speak about the Trinity. We must speak about the Trinity, or one God in three distinct persons. God the Father, God the Son, right? And God the Holy Spirit. This is foundational teaching of Christianity. This doctrine, brothers and sisters, separates Christianity from every other religion on earth. Now, while we share with Islam, as well as we share with Judaism, Christianity, and the other two, we are all monotheistic, meaning we all believe in only one God. But there's a vast difference when we speak about the Trinity, which we're talking about here. But those are the only three religions on earth that are monotheistic. Every other religion is polytheistic, meaning they worship many gods. When you go to India, the Hinduism, they have like some 3 million. I don't even think they can count them anymore. But they have about 3 million gods. And even with Judaism, with Abraham, back in the Old Testament, the Jews were the only ones on earth that were monotheistic. Every other religion in those days, all the pagan religions were polytheistic. So we are monotheistic. But once again, what separates us from Islam and Judaism is the Trinity. Now, due to our finite minds, we are really unable to understand the fullness of the Trinity any more than we can understand the beginning of God, right? Or Him being eternal, or our God being self-sustaining and self-existent, or trying to wrap our mind around the size of the universe. Listen, church, it's way, way, way beyond our intellect. It would be like us trying to teach a worm calculus. That's pretty much it, right? We have no concept of God. So, but let me give you just a couple of illustrations that might help you understand the Trinity a little bit. Number one, we are all humans. We are created in the image of God, Imago Dei. It's a very important theological term, meaning that we are created in our mother's womb. Psalm, we've heard it quoted a couple times here today already, that we've been created in our mother's womb in Psalm 139. But now we are created in God's likeness. In other words, we are created in three parts. Somebody say three parts. We have a body. We have a soul, which includes our mind, our will, and our emotions. And then we have our spirit. So we are body, mind, and spirit. So when you see me standing here, you see one person, but there are three parts to this one person. Are you following me? The body, soul, and spirit. So we are created in the image of God. Now, the other example, it's a good illustration, is water. When you see water in a liquid form, it's, you know, just it runs a drink, you know, it goes down the creek. But then when it goes to freezing temperature, it becomes ice, right? But when you heat it, it evaporates. Are y'all following me here? But it's all one product in three different forms. So that's a good understanding when we see when we talk about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So when we speak about the Holy Spirit, we're basically just speaking about God just in another form. Hey, let me just drop this here for you. You know it's okay to worship the Holy Spirit. Usually we're worshiping God the Father, we worship Jesus. But we can worship the Holy Spirit as well, because they're all three, one. So the Holy Spirit is just God in another form. So when we declare that God has no beginning and no end, so as it is with the Holy Spirit, and so as it is with Jesus. It's right in the first couple sentences of your Bible. So if you have your Bibles, please open them up to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 and 2, a little bit of a Bible study here this morning. How many of you know it's good to study the Bible when you come to church? You'd be surprised some of these videos you see churches today. There ain't no Bible anywhere. Just a bunch of babble. So we're going to build some good doctrine this morning. This is some good theology for everybody. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. The Bible says, "In the beginning, God." The word in the Hebrew is Elohim. Elohim in the Hebrew language is a plural word. Like a literal translation would be "in the beginning, gods." We in the English language, we'd put an S on the end, meaning plural. But plural, how many of you know, could mean 2, could mean 5, could mean 10, could mean 30. It just means more than one. But we're going to define all this here, so just walk through the Bible with me. In the beginning, God, in plurality, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And here it is. The rock Elohim, the Spirit of God, was hovering over the waters. So we see the Spirit of God right in the first couple sentences of our Bible. Let's jump into the New Testament, John chapter 1. Gospel of John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. It starts out the same way as Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. We just read that. Elohim in Genesis 1 and 1. Are you tracking with me? Somebody say amen. Amen. Through him, through the Word, through Jesus, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Now jump down to verse 14. The Bible says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Let me just pause there for a minute. The word dwelt in your King James Version, when it's translated into the Hebrew language, it means he tabernacled among us. In the Hebrew language, here's what a tabernacle meant. You remember they built the tabernacle out in the wilderness? It essentially means you take an animal skin or some type of a skin and stretch it over something. In other words, a tabernacle means you put a skin on. In other words, God himself tabernacled. He put a skin on and lived among us. Come on, somebody thankful for Jesus in this house. My, my. So the Word became flesh, made his dwelling among us. He tabernacled. He put a skin over. He became a human. We have seen his glory, the Shekinah, the glory, the kabod of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So in these six verses, beginning in the Old Testament and then in the Gospel of John, in the New Testament, we see the Trinity of our God. A God in three distinct persons. We see God the Father, we see God the Son, and we see God the Holy Spirit. Let me further establish the doctrine of the Trinity. This is where we read about the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11. You're going to get a little workout here going through your Bible today. Is that all right? Back to Genesis, chapter 11, verse 5. It says, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, the people were building. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Let me make a little commentary here. The same spirit of man trying to reach God has never ceased to exist. We just see it taking in new forms. Today we see it with the New World Order. We see it with the World Health Organization. We see it with the World Economic Forum. It's the same spirit of the Tower of Babel, where it was man trying to reach the heavens without Jesus Christ. Man trying to build his own tower to get to God. That's why you even see, if you read through the World Economic Forum, Haral Yavari, which is like one of the main guys there with Klaus Schwab, they're even looking at some way to invent a human being once he leaves this earth to continue living in cyberspace or in a matrix. That's what they're working on, and that's what they believe. Listen, it's man's desire to live eternal life with God. He's created every single one of us with that void in our life. We want to live in eternity with God, but listen, it's a God-sized void, and only God can fulfill that void. Come on, somebody. And he did it through his son, Jesus Christ. So mankind worldwide are trying to reach the heavens. It's the same spirit as the Tower of Babel. Let me come back to my point because we're talking about the Trinity. Now here it is. Watch this. Verse 7. It says, let us. It doesn't say let me. It's speaking in plurality. Are you with me? Say amen. Let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. Yes. Go a few pages ahead. Go to your Bible, Deuteronomy. Chapter 6, verse 4. Now you really got to, in the original language, it's a little tricky. So just follow me through here. Watch this. It says, hear, O Israel. The Lord, capital L-O-R-D, whenever you see that in your Bible, it's speaking of Yahweh or Jehovah. In other words, your personal God. How many of you know who Yahweh Yireh is, right? God our healer. Yahweh Shalom, God our peace. Yahweh Tzidkenu, our righteousness. So Yahweh is our personal God. So when you see capital L-O-R-D, it's speaking of Jehovah, our personal God. So let's read it. The Lord, our personal God. Our Elohim, our plural God, the Jehovah is one. Did y'all see that? So our personal God, our Jehovah, our Elohim is all one God. Now, once again, when we read Elohim, it could be 2, it could be 5, it could be 10, it could be 35. Go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. Here's what your Bible says. For there are three, somebody say three. There are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, who we've already established is Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. You tracking with me? Somebody say amen. All right, so we see this Trinity also in the baptism of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 3. Turn your Bibles back a few pages. Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Now I never went to preaching school, so but I hear they teach you whenever you preach, you never use more than two verses. So we blew that up about 15 minutes ago. Yes, hallelujah. We got some more too. All right, so here we go. Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. The Bible states, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, descending like a dove and alighting on him. Verse 17, a voice from heaven said, this is the Father speaking, this is my Son, because the Father addresses the Son, whom I love, and with him I am well pleased. So right here we see the Holy Spirit, we see the Son, and we see the Father speaking. In other words, here's an example of our triune God right in your scriptures there, three in one. Now, while we're at this passage, let me teach a little bit on the Holy Spirit, a little lesson here. Actually, Robin kind of touched on this in her poem. And this is a rarely taught attribute about the Holy Spirit. Because the very next verse after Jesus is baptized, when you go into chapter 4, the Bible says, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, we don't think of the Holy Spirit that way very often, but I want to speak to somebody here this morning. Listen, saints of God, if you're born again, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, if you find yourself in a trying place, if you find yourself in the wilderness, if you find your place having a hard time, perhaps, listen, it's the Holy Spirit that led you into that place just so he can show off. Also, one of the images, this is good. Now, don't go nowhere. One of the images we see of the Holy Spirit in our Bible is found in Acts chapter 2. He comes as fire. How many of you know fire is created sometimes to purify some things? When a goldsmith wants to get the impurity out of his gold, he exposes it to a fire. He exposes it to extreme heat. In other words, the more heat, the more impurities come out. The more heat, the more dross that comes out of the gold. If there's still more impurities left in the gold, come on, somebody shout, turn up the heat. Oh, y'all aren't real excited right in there. Hold up. Listen, 1 Peter 4 and 12, you don't have to read, I'll just read it to you, you don't have to turn there. Think it not strange when a fiery trial comes your way. Job 23:10 says, when he has tested me. How many of you are familiar with Job? It says, when he has tested me, I will come forth as pure gold. Listen, if there's still some pride left in there, honey, Holy Ghost, turn up the heat. If you're still battling with some jealousy or some envy, Holy Ghost, come on, somebody. Turn up the heat. Are you dealing with some bitterness or some greed? Listen, turn up the heat, oh God, in our lives, that our lives might become as pure gold. Listen, church of God, our God is a holy, all-consuming fire, and he's going to burn up everything that is not like him. Now, the goldsmith would know when the gold was pure. Here's how he knew. When he would look in his pot of gold and he would see an exact replication of his face. Did y'all miss that? He would see his face perfectly reflecting in the gold. Listen, church, you see, Jesus is looking at us to see if he could see the reflection of his face. If he doesn't, my question is, does he need to turn up the heat a little more? You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit will lead us into the wilderness. Come on, somebody. The question is, here it is. Will you trust him with your trial? Will you trust him in your tribulation? Will you trust him in your test? Will you trust him in the pain that you're going through? Listen, if you're born again, bought with the blood, saved and sanctified, here's what the word of God says concerning you. All things. Somebody say all things. Work together for the good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. I wish somebody in the house would give our God a praise. Hallelujah. We're talking about the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Listen, every trial that comes your way, you shouldn't be casting out a devil. Son, the Holy Spirit leads us into. And can I just be blunt with y'all? You know how I am. Sometimes it's just our plain old stupidity. And then we want to blame the devil. Come on, let me go back a few decades. Flip Wilson, y'all know it. The devil made me do it. Hey, devil ain't made you do nothing. It was your own lust. So when you're going through your hard time, can you say, even as the psalmist said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. While we're talking about Psalm 23, where that comes from, the Bible says, in the midst of your enemy, God what? He prepares a table for you. Why does he prepare a table for you in the midst of your enemy? Because you're about to have your enemy for your lunch, somebody. He said, relax. It's all good. For the battle is not yours, but it's mine, says the Lord. The Bible says that you anoint my head with oil. Psalm 23, you're familiar with it. Oil is always, in the Old Testament, symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Now listen, there's a couple reasons that a shepherd would anoint his sheep with oil. The first reason why they put oil all over the sheep's head is so that they wouldn't get stuck in the thicket. We're talking about the Holy Ghost. God anoints you, listen, so that you don't get your head stuck in the thickets of life. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. Please throw this up here, Josh. It says this: no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. So I'm trying to tell somebody this morning that there is a way out of your dilemma. There's a way out of your addiction. There's a way out of the vice that has you bound up. There's a way out, listen to me, of your alternative lifestyle. There's a way out. It's your choice. The Bible's clear. God provides a way out. So listen, church, we have the power to walk right. We have the power to talk right. We have the power to live right. And it's not some self-help book or group meetings. It's through the power of the Holy Ghost. Secondly, the reason that the shepherd would anoint the sheep with oil is because the oil would have a fragrance to it, and it would keep the bugs away from the sheep's head, and particularly it would keep the bugs out of the sheep's ear. Have you ever been in the woods or on a camping trip? You have that, what do they call that, spray, bug spray? Off. Same idea. They didn't have off 1,000 years BC. So they would put the oil on the sheep's ear. In the wilderness, these bugs, these gnats, they would find their way into the sheep's ear. You may have even had a dog when they get something in their ear and they begin to shake, trying to get rid of this thing. And these gnats would find their way into the sheep's ears, and then the sheep would begin to shake their heads violently and even drive the sheep crazy, even to the point of banging their head against a tree, even unto death. So the shepherd would anoint the sheep's head. He would anoint the sheep's ears to keep the bugs out of the ears of the sheep. Oh, come on, somebody. Listen, Judah, we as God's flock has sent his son Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, to anoint our heads with oil that the Holy Spirit would keep the bugs out of our ears and our minds so that it does not drive us crazy. Look at your phone, all the bugs that are flying out of your phone every day, trying to make their way in. Listen, you better have some anointing in them ears in this day that we're living in, y'all. There's all kind of crazy gnats and bugs and flies and ticks and fleas and termites trying to worm their way into our ears and into our mind. Listen, I'm trying to tell somebody, anoint your eyes, anoint your ears with the Holy Ghost. It's the anointing of the Holy Ghost that will cause you to demolish every argument, every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and cause you to take captive every thought to make it obedience to Jesus Christ. Somebody in this house needs to thank God for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. My God, listen, I got a lot more. I think I'm gonna finish it up right here. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the anointing of God. God's anointing on you. Your baptism of the Holy Ghost, listen, is not for your benefit. The Holy Spirit isn't your genie in the bottle. The Holy Spirit isn't for your pleasure. It's not for your personal gain. The Holy Spirit is not that you can get more Facebook likes or tweets or Twix or Snapchats or whatever they're doing. Remember the story about Esther. The Bible says that she was anointed for 1 year, anointed for 1 year before she was able to go into the presence of the king. An entire year of preparation for this woman. She was anointed and bathed and cleansed just for one moment with the king. Listen, her cleansing, her beautification, her anointing, listen, was for the king's pleasure. The anointing, my brother, my sister, that you possess is not for your pleasure or for your consumption. It's for the king and for the kingdom of the king. If you have an anointing to cook, Pastor Kim, you keep on cooking, honey. If you have an anointing to clean, honey, you gotta clean. If you have an anointing to cut grass or to trim hedges, then you cut grass and you trim hedges. If you have an anointing to drive a van, you drive the van. If you have an anointing to pray, you pray. If you have an anointing to intercede, come on, somebody. If you have an anointing to send cards, make phone calls, whatever anointing, we all have different gifts. We'll talk about that in a later message, but you've been gifted by the Holy Ghost. My God. So listen, our anointing is for God and for God's kingdom. However, listen, this is good, because wherever you go, that anointing, that fragrance goes with you. You cannot separate. Amen. You do not get your anointing when you walk into 525 Market Street, I'm trying to tell you. Everywhere you go, that anointing, honey, is going with you. Everywhere. You don't turn it on and turn it off. My. You go to the marketplace, the anointing is right there with you. You go to your schoolhouse, you go to your job, you go, no matter, the fragrance goes with you, the anointing, you're blessing everybody around you no matter where you go. That's why, I don't know, sometimes this happens to me, I don't know, maybe it's happened to you. I'm checking out at Walmart, and I'm standing there, and there's me and the clerk, and all of a sudden they just start dumping all their problems on. Just like that. Come on, do I got a witness in the house? Why is that? You have a gift in this earthen vessel. And people sense that in you. What kind of peace does this sister have? Does this brother have? What do they have? I got to have some of it. Let me tell you about my problems. Do you have an answer for me? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Come on, somebody. Your anointing goes everywhere. You come on. Here it is. Here it is. Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece was white as snow. Everywhere that Mary went. Wherever you go, honey, listen, there's a lot of doctrinal truth in that little nursery rhyme. Aren't you thankful for Jesus? Aren't you thankful for the Holy Ghost? Come on, somebody. The Bible says you got peace. Your belly is filled with living water. My wife, when she wears for perfume, listen, honey, it's not for you. I hate to break your heart. It's for the king. Are you hearing me? But everywhere she goes. Ooh, Sister Dalla, you smell good. Esther was being bathed. She was being beautified. She was anointed for the king. However, everyone else in her company enjoyed the benefit of her anointing, of her fragrance. This world should enjoy our fragrance, our anointing that's coming off of us. Listen, church, if you truly have God's anointing, you not only have it on Sunday morning when you're shouting and dancing and speaking in other tongues, but listen, you should have that same anointing at 5 a.m. on Monday when the alarm clock goes off. Amen, or oh me, somewhere in there. Yeah, here's a question for you. When that alarm goes off, what kind of tongues are you speaking in then? What kind of tongues do you speak in when your coworker cusses you out? Your boss gives you a hard time. On your way to church, you and your spouse get in a fight. Now, that doesn't happen here at Judah. That's for other churches. What kind of tongues are you speaking in then? Is it the Holy Spirit? Or is there another spirit up in there? All right. That's my off ramp. There's too much more to keep, continue to go on. We've been given the power of the Holy Ghost. We've been given gifts. We've been given the fruit of the Spirit. And we're going to develop these over the next few weeks. But the Holy Spirit gets a bad name in a lot of churches today. But we can't live without Him. We need His power. I can't speak for you, but I need the Spirit of God to curb my tongue. Listen, loosen your tongue and say amen, somebody. Amen. Come on. So we need the Holy Spirit in our lives. And Jesus, He said, I'm going to leave here. Now, how many of you in here would have loved to have been in that day to hang out with Jesus, walk around with Him, right? Just to watch Him do the miracles that He did and walked on water. He raised the dead. And the way He taught with such authority. And I mean, wouldn't that have been awesome to witness that? But Jesus said this. He says, it's better for you if I go away and send the Advocate. Send the Comforter. So we're living in the better day. We're living in the better day. In Acts chapter 2, we see the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And once again, we're going to develop all this in the weeks coming. But we need to tap into the Holy Spirit. We need to understand that the Holy Spirit is God just as much as God the Father and God the Son. We have the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on and stand with me. Give our God a praise. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
all of my mind.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I lift my hands to you and say, I love you. To proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to every nation, every generation, to all creation, to proclaim the